Hello, Chiver. Today it is a new amazing day, and I am with a new amazing guest. She's a woman, a black African woman. You will love her, and she is the author of No Matter What. She's Lisa Nichols, and she's with me to answer my questions. She's one of the most inspirational women and speaker and author, and she will answer my question. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, how are you doing today, David?
It's an awesome day. I'm very happy to be with you today. And
thank
how are you?
I'm doing amazing, and I'm excited to be with you as well. Excited for our time together.
Perfect. I have a lot of questions for you, but before to ask you a question, I would love to know who you are and how did you start it, because you inspire a lot of people. And a lot of people have the belief, oh, I'm a woman, I can't succeed. Oh, I'm black, I can't succeed. And you have the both. So how did you maybe overcome this belief? I don't know if you had these beliefs before. And how did you succeed in who you are, and how did you become one of the most influential speaker?
First of all, I never saw my gender as a woman as a disadvantage.
Yeah.
And I never have seen my culture as a disadvantage.
Right.
I celebrate who I am. It comes with its own set of challenges, but I think everything does. My job is to learn how to masterfully be a woman and how to masterfully be a woman of color. So I learned how to celebrate my femininity, celebrate my womanhood, celebrate my culture unapologetically. So I think that when you live under the guise of, I'm gonna do this even though I'm a woman, there's no even though. There's no even though. No one can do it like I could do it as a woman, as an African-American woman. So it was, instead of it being my kryptonite, my weak point, it's been my tool.
Yeah.
It's been that thing that's helped me be extra resilient. I know that my ancestors have had to go through tons of challenges, so that means that's in my bones. As a woman, we give birth to humanity. That's in my bones. That's in my hips. It's in my essence. So the work that I do, my colleagues are primarily men.
Yeah.
And whenever I step in the room, I say, okay, now we're going to bring some flavor to the room. Flavor as a woman, flavor as a woman of color. And instead of shrinking, trying to hide, trying to blend in, I tried that for a long time. I used to stand next to Mark Victor Hansen or Jack Canfield or T. Harv Eckert, and I'd try to blend in. I'd wear a black suit, gray suit, or a blue suit. I'd wear my hair pulled back tight in a ponytail so you couldn't tell that I was one of the, you know, I wasn't one of the guys. And I just realized after 6 years, I don't do a white man very well, but I do a woman. I do a woman of color pretty well.
Yeah, and because you are.
Yeah, and if I stand in my truth and celebrate who I am, then it gives everyone else the freedom to do the same in your perfection and in your imperfection.
Mm.
That it's not about being perfect. It's about managing your imperfection perfectly.
Yeah.
It's about perfectly managing your imperfection. So I get to design my life based on who I am.
And I would love to know your point of view. What are the advantages to be a woman?
Oh, they're endless. You didn't know?
Yeah.
Did you not know we run the world? Did you not? I don't think anyone told him that we really run the world. And then we let you think you run the world. As a woman, we get to think through our heart. We get to touch and love and feel publicly. Oprah gets to cry publicly. She gets to be fully expressed in front of the world.
Hmm.
No judgment. My heart goes out to men, because society has told you you can't cry. Society has told you you can't feel anything other than anger. Hmm. We get to be afraid. We get to be compassionate. We get to be loving. We get to cry when we see a great movie. We get to be fully expressed. And my prayer is that through the teachings and through our touchings and through the guidance and the experiences of having a woman in your presence, that men give themselves that liberation as well. Because that's freedom.
Yeah.
It's really freedom. The freedom to express. God gave you tear ducts. God gave you emotions. You're supposed to feel them and allow them to be real. But men, there's this bottleneck of, I can't feel anything other than anger. And I just hope that you and other teachers in the industry teach something else. As a woman, you know, I get to sing my song. I get to dance to my rhythm. I get to find my tune. I get to love out loud. I get to embrace you. I get to recognize that I'm not a man. I don't have the strength of a man. I have the gentleness and compassion of a woman. Mm. And together is where magic occurs. Together, you know, when we get into the man-woman struggle, it's when I'm trying to take on a masculine energy and you're trying to understand my feminine energy. And the reality is, you don't have to understand my feminine energy. Just honor it and celebrate it. Nor do I have to understand your masculine. Just honor it and celebrate it. And at every corner, lift you up. At every possibility, lift you up. When you come home from fighting the world, be there to help rub, you know, salve on your wounds and to help prepare you for the next day. As a woman, we have the capacity to do that.
Well, yeah. I think so. And according to you, what could be, what are the advantages to be an African woman?
We have rhythm. We have soul. We sit with earth. We come from the earth. We know how to embrace all the children. Everyone is our child. My grandmother is a prime example. Black, white, Asian, Latina, everyone was her child. You need to eat, baby, come eat. We're so used to that. We're village oriented. We live inside the village. And the village is not just our surnames, our last names. The village is anyone in humanity that's in this proximity. And that's our culture. Our culture.
More collaborations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And because we started as a poor culture of no money, money was never something that we got lost behind. So now in my life where I have great wealth in my life, still the things that mean the most to me cost nothing. The things that mean the most to me, the most exciting parts of my days are having dinner with my grandmother, playing tennis with my daddy, watching movies with my son. Because as a culture, that's how we're raised. We're raised, stick close, hold on tight, and embrace anyone who crosses your path because God sent them on your path. Wow. So I love that. I love that about my culture. I love the resiliency that we have. A black woman, she's not going to stop. She's not going to stop till she gets the job done. You know, we're not soldiers. We're not even generals. We're gladiators, and that's just who we are. And we embrace other cultures to play with us.
Great. Can you tell me your story?
Well,
you are talking about Oprah. Well, how Oprah inspired you? I would love to know that.
Well, David, I didn't come to this work because I wanted to transform other people's lives. I didn't come to this work the traditional way of many of my colleagues and friends. I didn't decide I wanted to be a great study of self-development. I discovered this work because I needed to save my own life. I discovered this work because I was fighting for my own breath. I was fighting to find something in me that was meaningful. It was at a very low point in my life about 15 years ago. And I was engaged to be married, and 5 months from my wedding day, my fiance choked me until I passed out. And then he picked me up and threw me 15 feet across, 3 feet across the room. And getting up physically from that was easy. Getting up emotionally, spiritually, mentally, that's where I needed to be my own rescue. And so I went to the doctor, and the doctor, I couldn't stop shaking. I couldn't stop crying. All of my muscles were out of control. And the doctor said, "Oh, Lisa," I never forget the day. Her name was Dr. Bray. And Dr. Bray said to me, "Oh, Lisa, you're suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. You are diagnosed with clinical depression." And I said, "Depression? Me?" At the time I was speaking, I was on stages. I had only been speaking about 3 years, but I was speaking. So I'm motivating 600 people on stage. And here I am diagnosed 3 days later with clinical depression. And I said, "How did I get here?" I don't know if you've ever been somewhere and you don't know how you got there. You just end up there. Well, that's where I was. I said, it still brings tears to my eyes to talk about it. I said, "Doctor, do you mean I'm really, really sad?" Like, clinical depression was too big a word. I'm like, "Do you mean I'm really, really sad?" She said, "Yeah, you're really, really sad." And I thought, what do I do with my students? What do I teach them when they're really, really sad and they come to me? And I went home and I started writing affirmations that I needed to hear. I wrote down the things that I needed to remember. I said, I must have forgotten who I am. When you're sad, it's because you've forgotten, you've lost sight of who you really are. You've gotten consumed with the circumstances. You've gotten consumed with your experience in the moment, and you've forgotten who you've been designed to be, who you've been born to be. I forgot. While I was teaching, I forgot. This relationship was so dark and so saddening, I forgot. And so I started writing affirmations, reminding me of who I am, and I stuck them all around my house. I stuck them on my bathroom mirror. I stuck them on my refrigerator. I put them on my headboard of my bed. I deserve healthy love on my headboard. I put it on the front door of my home. The world is ready for me and I'm ready for the world. Everywhere I went, I posted them. Everywhere. My house looked like a great big post-it note. And I didn't care because I was fighting for my own life. And then I opened the Bible to see who did God say I was. I forgot. I forgot who I was and whom I was and who I belonged to. And every morning I got in the mirror and I finished three sentences, David. Every morning. I said, "Lisa, I'm proud that you." And when I first said it, all I could say is, "I'm proud that you got out of bed today." That's all I did. Then the second sentence was, "Lisa, I forgive you for." Oh, bawling with tears. My son was 3 years old at the time. So I had to forgive myself for not only putting myself in danger, for putting my son in danger. I had to forgive. Every day I forgave myself. And then every day I'd say, "Lisa, I commit to you that." So every day for 3 months, I said, "Lisa, I'm proud of you. Lisa, I forgive you for. And Lisa, I commit to you that." And slowly my crawl turned into a walk. And my walk turned into a run. And my run turned into a soar. And then I figured if it works on me, it might work on other people. And that's when I came to this work.
And did you see a difference in your clients, in the people who are following you?
Oh, completely. When you come back from something, when you come from a dark place, when you come from a place of sadness, when you come from a place of worry, doubt, and fear, and you stand again on your own two feet, you'll never stand the same way you stood before you went through that turbulent challenge. You'll never stand the same because you're no longer the same person. You had to draw something up in you that you didn't even know exists. So when I taught from a place of no matter what. I taught from a place of resiliency. I taught from a place of coming back again. And my students saw that. And they rose taller and they rose bigger and they told someone and they shared with someone. And all of a sudden my brand and my business began to just grow. Like, I never had a speaker agent booking me to speak. I never have had an advertising agency putting me out there. Never. It was always word of mouth.
So according to you, what could be the key factor of your success as a speaker? If you have to give an advice to someone who would like to say to do the same as you.
Yes. Transparency. It's that thing that's making this moment so special. Is that my grandmother says, there's nothing to hide, nothing to protect, nothing to prove, and nothing to defend. So I speak as if there's nothing to hide, nothing to protect, nothing to defend, and nothing to prove. It's not in my brilliance that I get to stand on stage and inspire millions. It's in the fact that I've fallen and I got up. That I've earned the right to stand on stage.
So you tell these stories.
I share all of it. There's nothing to hide. There's nothing to prove to you that it's in my being an ordinary woman, choosing every day to make extraordinary decisions. It's not in me singing from a mountaintop that I'm the great leader, Lisa. No, that's not true. That's not true. I'm a woman. I'm a single mother who chose to make life better for her son, who chose to not hold my future hostage to my past. See, most people are holding their future hostage to their past. Because I did that, or because I didn't do that, I can't do this. Mm-mm. I cut the shackles attached to my past. I stand on my past, not in my past.
Mm, great, I love that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I think the thing about my message that's needed is it's not only educational, but it's used as a healing piece. So it's for healing as well. That when people listen, you realize that the experience I had made me a better person.
Mm, yeah.
That it's difficult to go through.
It is my next question. Yes. So how to deal with obstacles?
First of all,
yeah,
don't be so frustrated by obstacles. Obstacles are designed to help you develop your resiliency muscle, your perseverance muscle. You don't get strong without obstacles. You can't Google download strength. You can't Google down. No, it doesn't happen, David. You can't Google download forgiveness. You can't. You want all these things in your character. You want the character of a giant, but you don't want to climb the mountain. The mountain are the obstacles. The mountains are someone did something that betrayed you, and you have to find it in your soul to love them anyway. That's when your character is built. When you see something that is, you go, how? I'll never get past this. I'll never get past this debt. I'll never get past this broken relationship. And then you find something in you and you go, wait a minute. No matter what, I am bigger than my circumstances. On the other side of it, you're not the same person. You're not the same being. But you can't get there without this obstacle. Obstacles are designed to show you your leap muscle, to show you your love muscle, to show you your compassion muscle, to show you your ability to bounce back. It's not how many times can you leap forward, It's how many times you can bounce back that's gonna determine your longevity. Obstacles are designed to support your growth. You ask for patience, you're gonna get a situation. You ask for, I wanna forgive, you're gonna get someone that's gonna make you mad. They're designed to come into your life to make you a better man, to make me a better woman. They're not designed to stop you. Oh my God.
No.
You freeze for a moment, but only for a moment long enough to determine your next move. Only long enough to go, who am I right now? Who do I want to be known for? How do I want to be remembered in this situation? What story? Every time I go through something, David, every time I'm in a sticky situation, I go, promise, every time I go, what story do I want to be told about me on how I handle this? This is what you're doing. We're now sitting in 2013. You want to project out and you want to be in your 2020 version of you. What would the 2020 version of me do or say? And then you want to do it now. Because now you're growing toward the man you're becoming. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You don't respond. If you respond the same way you responded in 2009, you've already been that person. Who are you now? Obstacles show you who you are. The area that I find how I grow, when I find I've grown, is when I'm faced with an obstacle and I respond a different way. I go, ooh, look, I've grown.
Yeah.
In 2008, I would have went crazy.
So we can say that the obstacles are not only the opportunity to grow, but also the opportunity to see that
to measure your growth.
Yeah,
to measure absolutely your growth. To measure your growth, and you have to stop and celebrate yourself. Like I look at myself today, and I'm not perfect, by no means. I simply have learned how to manage my imperfection. I look at myself today, and someone said, "What would you do if someone came up to you and they were yelling and screaming at you?" I said, they don't get to trigger me. They won't make me lose sight of who I am. They said, how could you say that? I said, because they don't have that much power over me. I control me. I design my destiny. They're a stimuli. They're a stimulus. That's it. But I decide. You have the pen in your hand to write your entire autobiography. You design your destiny. No one is ever holding the pen in your hand. Now, you may think someone is influencing you because they're screaming and yelling at you, but you still write, I'm angry. You still write, I hate. Or you write, I love. I love in spite of. Your pen, your story, always. I love that. Yeah. When I finally got that, because, you know, otherwise you think it's because of your mom or your dad or your ex or your next. you give other people too much power. Yeah. I used to give other people a lot of power. I gave my community power. I gave my environment power. I gave my culture power. And I went, whoa, wait a minute.
I have the power.
I got the power, always. Yeah.
I would like to know about what traits do we have to develop to become a successful person? Maybe 5 or 7 traits you see.
So first let me define success.
Yeah.
Most people look at success very compartmental. Success is one category. It's your public name. It's your bank account balance. It's your notoriety. It's your celebrity status. Well, all that's nice. Success is so much bigger than that. Success is, does your family enjoy you?
Yeah, it is your 9 environment of success.
Yes, and if I broke those 9 environments into 4 chunks, yeah. 4 bigger chunks. Relationships. How are they? When you're on your transition bed in your last days of living, your last hours of living, you won't care about how big a celebrity you are. You won't care about the number in your bank account. You will measure the quality of your life by the quality of your relationships. That's it. Did I say I love you enough? Did I say I'm sorry soon enough? Did I say I forgive you quick enough? Did I laugh until my belly ached? Did I cry when I felt like I needed to shed a tear? Did I hold her tight? Did I hold him tight enough? The quality of your relationships will be a direct reflection of the quality of your life. And you won't ever be able to clean that up in the last days. So when I look at success, I look at success. Next week, I'm taking my dad on a trip. And for 4 days, me and my daddy are gonna dance. We're going to dance all night for 4 days at a 4-day concert. That, to me, is success.
Yeah.
Success is about your health and your wellness. Not about being a size 2. But if you want to dance, can you dance? Do your knees agree with dancing? If you want to jet ski, can you jet ski? If you want to get up and take a jog, can you? The quality of your life and your health. It's also determined by your spirituality. How surrendered are you to a higher being, whatever you call it? I call it God, whatever you call it. How surrendered are you? How much are you in alignment with the purpose of your life? Success to me, David, is much bigger than the compartment called celebrity or finances.
Yeah.
Now, based on that, because I have to tell you that, my definition of success, before I tell you the traits of success. So the traits of success as I see them is first, authenticity and honesty. Being willing to show who you are holistically, no regrets, unapologetically. Compassion. Compassion is a saving grace trait. Compassion will allow you to see in the most difficult person what they need. When people are being difficult, argumentative, ego-based, it's because they need something. And compassion will allow you to push past your ego and give them what they need.
Yeah.
Without any attachment. I love elevating people who need elevation. Okay. I don't need it. You need it. It's okay. And then they feel better. Compassion. You need, I want to say spunk, but you need to be feisty. You need to be feisty. You need to not look for others for permission. To do you. You need to do you and just trust they'll be okay. You need to be a a game changer. You need to not ask for permission. You need to give notice. See, I don't ask for permission anymore. I give notice. I'm coming. I'm here. Not in a braggadocious way, not in an intimidating way, just in the, I'm here. So you need to be spunky. You need to be God-centered, whatever you call your faith. You need to sit and rest in service. Sit and rest. And when you get to if you really want to go to the next level, you need to go from service. Now, this is a big one. Most people won't ever do this. Go from service to obedience. Obedience is the ultimate form of surrender. Surrender to your calling. Surrender. Meaning on days you don't want to do it and you don't like it, you go, oh yeah, I say yes. Use me. Use me today. Get me out of your way, God, so that the people can see you today. That you can use me like I'm an instrument. I'm an instrument playing in your great band, in your great symphony. And all I want to do is play my music, play the music that you brought me here to play. Use me. And the moment I get in your way, stop me. Stop me in my tracks until I become repurposed, and then use me again. Give me 1,000 second chances to get it right. Those are the traits. I know you said like 9 or 7, but those are the key ones. Everything else will take care of itself. You can learn everything else. You can learn strategic planning. You can learn time management. You can learn all that stuff. You got those core things. You're willing to surrender. You're willing to be out on the edge. You're willing to be authentic. You're willing to celebrate the God in you no matter what you think people might say. You're okay.
You're great.
And then you define success holistically by your family, your faith, your health, your money, and your relationships.
Mm.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's a new answer.
Yes.
For the same question. I love that. My next question is about the 9 environments. Mm-hmm. Of success. How do you suggest to manage that?
Number one, you have to commit to not go into overwhelm. You have a lifetime. Oftentimes we're so impatient. I'd say take 3 environments and focus on them for 90 days. Just laser. Instead of moving like a floodlight, move like a laser. Focus, focus, focus. 3 for 3 months. And then 3 more for 3 months. And then 3 more for 3 months. And within the year, you've touched them all. And as you touch them, energy grows where energy goes. Energy grows where energy goes. You touch that environment, you'll grow the success in that environment. You touch the next environment, you grow the success in that environment. You don't have to touch them all at the same time.
Mm.
Laser, not floodlight.
Yeah, so you are asking me to maybe change 3 and 3 and 3.
And don't change, just focus. Just focus on them.
Yeah.
When you focus on them, you'll find what needs to be tweaked. You'll find what you like. You may look at it and go, I love it. I love it the way it is. Oh my God, I'm doing so great in this environment. Great. You may look at another one and go, I'm doing okay. Let me put some energy. What do I need to do to up-level that environment? The next one, you go, oh, it's non-existent. My environment that's non-existent is like nature. I don't go out in nature enough. It's non-existent. So I go and I sit on my front porch. And I go, okay, today I did a little nature. Oh, that's wind. I'm feeling wind blow on my face. Okay, that's not air conditioned. Okay, it's wind. Okay, I'm in nature. I'll take an extra walk down to the mailbox, or I'll just walk slower. Small things. So you have to become committed to, instead of trying to make macro wins, we're so goal-oriented, we want big wins called macro wins. How about you have a micro win? What I love about the 9 environments, and when I focus on the 9 environments on my website, is I teach you how to have micro wins, small wins, because then they'll build on each other, but they're easy to get to. Sometimes your goals are so far out in front of you, it takes so long to get to it, you lose it energy.
Pace,
you
yeah.
You fizzle out. But what if your goal was right here and then right here? By the time you get out here, you're building momentum because you've accomplished 6 goals.
Yeah.
And the momentum. So what I love about the, when you look at the nine environments, they're micro wins, small wins. Like, oh, your physical environment and your garage is cluttered, right? Most people have a cluttered garage or a cluttered closet. And you go, oh, I need to clear out that from my physical environment. I go, wait, don't do that yet. Just clean out the drawer in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Micro win. And great. That drawer begins to go. Oh, and then the next 3 months, clean out the one hall closet. That's it, just one hall closet. But give yourself 30 days to fill it up, to clean it out, 30 days. Mm. I could do that.
Yeah, baby steps.
Yeah, micro wins. You get to your macro through many micros. Mm. We're so used to going macro. I want to do it all. You can do it all, but do it all in the stage that feels good to you.
And I would love to have your point of view because, to be honest with you, I focus a lot in my professional environment. Mm-hmm. I think you saw that. Mm-hmm. But it could be very hard for me to say, oh, these 3 months, I will not focus on
your business? Oh, no. See, you focus on business already, right?
Yeah.
So that environment's already been taken care of.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing in that environment. Just give three other environments some attention. You don't stop giving your business attention. Mm. You still do that, but you go, I'm going to, let's say you work 12 hours a day, right? And you want to give, I want to give, you know, 25% of my time to other things. So I'm not going to do the percentages right. Yeah. I didn't do great in math, but of 12 hours, you want to give 3 hours now.
Great.
Is that right? Yay. So you give 3 hours now to those three environments. Mm. So 1 hour to one hour to another 1 hour. You still got 9 hours. That's in your work. You just committed to three other environments 3 hours out of the day. That's it. It just says add to your life.
And you take a commitment to yourself to say, okay, this time I will not work, for example.
Or at this time, I'm going to watch a movie with my girlfriend. I'm going to get on the phone and I'm going to call three people in my family and just chat. Now, it may sound crazy, but I have to schedule time to call my family. I schedule time. I go on Sunday from 10 to 12, I'm doing phone calls. They haven't even figured it out yet that on Sundays I just happen to call. And they go, oh, it's so wonderful hearing from you, Lisa. I'm like, oh, great. Am I talking till 12? Sometimes I go to 12:30, sometimes 11:45. Now I have my relationship environment. It's maintenance. You know why? Because I used to work all the time and I didn't take care of the other environments. And my family stopped expecting my call. They stopped thinking I was going to call. They stopped calling me because I was always so busy. And then I was lonely. I was successful in this quadrant, in this compartment. But this over here, I was lonely. If there's anything I can share with you, don't you dare compromise your lifestyle and your holistic joy for business. You won't take it with you. You won't even remember it. It will be the relationships in your life that will bring you the most joy or the most void and the most pain. And they're like gardens. You have to water them. If you don't water them, they'll die. And then the greatest thing I love is that when you can go back to an old relationship and say, I'm sorry, can we do a do-over? Can we have a do-over? And they go, yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So to me, I can't compromise. There's nowhere you want to get in business that's not so great that you would leave back behind these other things. Mm. There's nowhere. You get there and you look back and there's a cemetery of relationships killed off, dead, gone, but you have it all. No. See, I coach very financially successful people. I coach millionaires and some billionaires. I never coach them on how to make more money, David. They make tons of money. They run rings around you and I with the money they make. I'm coaching all of them on those other eight environments.
To manage that, to balance that.
How to get back in good grace with their children before they die. How to connect with their God source. before they die. Because they didn't, at our age, manage it.
I love that. I have a question for you. I would like to know how old your son is.
My favorite topic on the planet, my son.
Yeah.
My son is 18. He'll be 19 this year.
Perfect. It's perfect. You will understand why. Let's consider I ask you that for your son, okay? What could be the life lessons you would like to share to youth? And you can speak directly to youth and imagine that it is your son behind the camera.
First off, to know that you get to continue to learn how to get it right. You don't have to start perfect. Just keep going. That you have the right to experience unconditional love. That means when you make a silly mistake, when you do something, you still have the right to be loved. And that the world is looking at the way you love yourself first. And then the world will follow your example. So love you. Celebrate you. Honor you. You know, as a teenager, I was confused. I was lost. I was very popular. But I wasn't comfortable in my skin. I didn't know Lisa. Everyone else knew Lisa, but I didn't know Lisa. I didn't love Lisa. I didn't celebrate Lisa. So I looked for my own self-love in the arms of men. I looked for my own love by saying yes to a lot of things that I should have said no to. So find out who you are. What do you love to do? Dance to your own rhythm. Sing to your own beat. No one can do you better than you. And no one has to approve who you are. You approve who you are. If you love you, then the world will love you. When you celebrate you, the world will celebrate you. If you find yourself being alone, remember that I looked into your eyes through this lens and said you are not alone. You are never alone. In those hours where you feel no one gets you, someone gets you. Someone loves you. Someone adores you. Someone's praying for you. Someone's hoping that you open up to them. I found myself feeling so alone as a teenager. So much so that when I was 19, I was in the bathroom of our one-bedroom house, and I poured in my hand 8 Tylenol, aspirin, and I contemplated suicide because I felt so alone. And I fell to my knees with the aspirin in my hand, the Tylenol in my hand, and I prayed out to God, God, please help me. Help me get through this time. And if you help me get through this time, I'll spend a lifetime bringing other people through it, helping other people to get through their dark times. And I got through it. So if you feel alone right now, just know you're not. And that we can get through this. You can get through this. And when you dance to your rhythm, sing your old song, find your own beat, the rest of the world will find the same beat with you. I love you. I appreciate you. I honor you. And I celebrate you. Just the way you are. No changes required.
Wow, you are great.
Thank you.
So, Lisa, I have a serious question for you. Mm-hmm. And I ask you to stay serious because it's very important for me.
As you laugh.
How can I become unhappy in this life?
How can you become unhappy? Continue to dream and never take action.
No actions.
Blame everyone.
Okay.
For how your life ends up. Make tons of excuses. Mm. Live a life of procrastination.
Oh, mm-hmm. I have to develop that.
Mm-hmm. And be shameful of your past. Hide it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Spend a lifetime making everyone else wrong.
Okay.
And you're right. Mm-hmm. Don't take care of your health.
No.
Don't take care of your health. It'll make getting up hard and you'll be nice and unhappy.
It's great.
Don't manage your finances.
Okay.
You know, just spend whatever you want, whenever you want. Don't be financially responsible.
I don't see my account. I spent.
Yeah, stay in debt. You know, oh. Be unhappy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And don't nurture your relationships.
Oh.
Don't nurture your relationships. Let them wither away. Don't call. Don't say I'm sorry. Don't say I love you. Don't say I accept your apology. Just don't do that. All those things will pretty much keep you unhappy.
That's great.
Hey. And by the way, some people are very committed to that. Very yes. committed.
Maybe it's the time to change that.
I think it's a good time. The wonderful thing about a decision is that it can, in the moment, change the trajectory of your life.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.